All right, hi everybody, and welcome to lecture 78 in this American History program of History at Our House for the elementary class. Today, this is our last class on the Industrial Revolution, the transformation that America and certain parts of Europe underwent first in the world that brought about this high technology universe that we live in, with all of these wonderful things that make our lives so much better. And the way that our world was transformed was through work, through industry, through people making the products that we need in order to live and finding new ways to do that. And so today we're going to look at the third of the revolutions, and there's more than three, but you know, we only have so many we can cover, that are part of this amazing transformation. We've seen that people learned how to make clothing in a whole new way, that they became to be able to make hundreds of times more clothing than ever before, which is why we now have entire rooms in our houses dedicated to our clothes, which we call walk-in closets. And we have now the ability to transport goods on a scale never before seen. Transport ourselves in airplanes from continent to continent, and to transport the goods that are produced all over the world from one country to another in this globalized world of ours. So we have this amazing transformation in our abilities to make the products we need to live as well. Today, we're going to look at another product that we need to live. It's not one of our top five lists. You know, we made this list and said, all right, in order to live, we need food, water, clothing, shelter, medicine. That's true. But as it turns out, in order to get those things, we need other things too. Yesterday, we talked about transportation as being one of them. Today, we're going to talk about another one. A value that is impossible to measure, that it is so great. We need this value. It is just as important as any other that I could imagine. In fact, for me, it's the top one. So, and that value is communication. Today we are going to talk about the communication revolution. Okay, so we've done clothing or textiles, we've done transportation, and the third and final one that we are going to discuss today is communication. So when I say the word communication, let's quickly just make that more real than that long and complicated word. What immediately comes to mind when you hear communication? Especially, you know, modern communication. What's involved? Tell me something that you use to communicate in modern times. What is modern communication like? Okay, Rosetta, go ahead. What's one?
You use a telephone.
Okay, a telephone, if you're old-fashioned. Abby, go ahead.
You can use a cell phone.
A cell phone, okay, if you're fully modern, right? Okay. Patrick, what's another one?
Computers
and tablets and all the other devices, absolutely. I mean, what are we doing right now? What is the giant system of communication that we are making use of right now? Without it, history at our house is impossible. Abby?
The internet,
right. Cell phones, telephones, the internet, computers. Henry Wyatt, you got some other ones?
Well, in old times, it used to be where you would have to write a letter or something, or probably just get to where you want to, like, walk this, or ride a horse to where you want to.
Okay, Wyatt, we're going to come back to that point, because that's a very good point. What you're getting at here is in old times, olden times, right, the past, before the Industrial Revolution, there were limits on communication that really prevented people from getting all the benefits of it. So yeah, that's what we're talking about today is, how did we go from the old way that you're talking about to the new way? Who did that? What were the inventions that were a part of it, and how important is it? So actually, that's where I want to go next. We'll come back to that point, Wyatt, about what things were like before. Okay? But I want to start with, how important is communication? Remember yesterday we said, Well, we need food, clothing, water, shelter, and medicine, but we can't have those without transportation. Would you say that it's also true we can't have those things without communication? What do you think? Can anybody think of connections here between, on the one hand, communication? And we mean phones, television, nobody mentioned radio because you probably don't listen to it anymore, email, books, cell phones, all those things, internet. Okay, that's communication. Can we have food, water, clothing, and shelter, and medicine without communication? What do you think? Can you try to make a connection between them? What would be an example? Let's have see if we can come up with an example of each, because I don't think we can. So my answer is no, I don't think we can have those things without communication. So for instance, yesterday we said, if you have a terrible accident and you need to go to the hospital, you need transportation. What's that service called that transports you to the hospital so that you can have medical attention? Rosetta?
Ambulance.
An ambulance. Okay. How do you get an ambulance? How does it come to you? Especially if you're on the highway in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, no matter what, Patrick, how does the ambulance get to you?
You communicate.
Yeah, but how? Specifically?
Cell phone or telephone.
Yes, okay. And what's the code? In America, at least. Oh no! This is embarrassing because Mr. Pyle is a parent and he hasn't communicated to his child how to dial.
I still know Fire
Nemo?
Department 1.
911! Yes, you probably did know that, but you were on the spot. Not right, so, in other words, how can you get medical care without 911? Well, maybe you can just do it with transportation. But if you're by yourself or whatever, you need to communicate to get the medical care. Absolutely. So the ability to phone, dial 911, I mean, that's a life or death thing in many cases. Yeah, that's huge. Okay, so can anybody make a different connection? What's the connection between communication and food? Is there any? Do we have to have a connection there? Does that make sense? Communication and food? Is there a connection there? Do you need the internet and phones to have bananas at the supermarket? To have nutritious food at the supermarket? Yes, you do. Why? Can you explain how?
Well, sometimes people will, like, say, I want to go to the pizza restaurant, which is very far away, but I can then say, I can look up their restaurant and find their phone number and say and order some food and have somebody bring it to you.
Okay, sure. So that's a good example of a nice thing. But I'm actually trying to get, you know, where you can order pizza, right? So that's nice. But I think that you can't even get food, period, without communication. So I mean the basic food that's at the supermarket. My question for you is, how does it get there? We already know that it has to be on a boat and that it has to be on a train and on a truck. Now, but think about that for a minute. Do those things just kind of magically happen? Boats move around? Trains move around? Trucks move around and go to the right place and end up in the right place? Rosetta.
Probably you would have to call up to a place where you want to get the food from, and
yeah, you're getting on the right track. I mean, bananas don't get to your grocery store from Costa Rica unless there are people down in Costa Rica picking the bananas, putting them on trucks over there, and then people transporting them to boats, and putting them on the boats, and then, well, where do they decide? Where do the boats go? Why would they go one place or another? People need communication. They need to know, where are the clients? Who's going to pay for these bananas? Where does that boat have to go next? And then when that boat arrives in some part of the United States, how does it get to you? Well, somebody has to communicate to the people at the port, let's say San Diego, that says, well, we're up here in Minnesota and we need bananas. So send them on the train and we'll pay you. And so on. I mean, imagine how it's actually staggering how much communication is required to get a banana into your house. You wouldn't imagine how much you need communication just for a banana. That's my point. Abby, go ahead.
I was going to say what you said, that they only need to call people in Costa Rica and say, we want you to ship us bananas. And then they'll need to call the people at the port and say, we want you to ship us bananas over to here.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. And then, yeah, so that's how it works. We absolutely must communicate in order to coordinate the transportation and all that provision of goods to everybody. So, yeah, we can't get food. We can't, and the same thing works for water and shelter and everything that we need. Right? I mean, we were talking yesterday about how if you're going to live in a house and people are going to bring cement and water and gravel and they're going to make a concrete foundation and then they're going to put up the wood. I mean, how does that all happen? It has to be coordinated by communication. People have to fill in orders for products. They have to contact the companies and communicate with them. And of course, another thing that we need communication for is money. Because how does the money go from one place to another? It has to be communicated through the banking system. It has to go from your account to somebody else's account if you want to pay them. So yeah, this is all very complicated and requires communication. So everything around us, and of course, well, right now, my entire life revolves around communication. Right? I mean, this is my personal life we're talking about here. But none of us here can do what we are doing without an amazing amount of communication technology. History at our house does not exist without the communication revolution. Right? We couldn't be here with our speakers and microphones and electricity and computers and the internet and everything, all the devices that are required in order for us to communicate. So there's no modern education without this communication revolution. And of course, how do we make food? How do we make houses? We have to teach each other how to do it. We have to communicate ideas. And so, none of that happens without communication. So it's amazingly important. All right. So let's get to this communication revolution. But before we talk about this particular phase of it, I'm going to go back into our anchor facts here for a minute. And I want to make a connection between our anchor facts and communication also. Because one thing that you guys did not say about communication is, well, a certain kind of communication that you neglected to mention. And so we have to talk about that briefly before we get into the modern kinds. So there's something about American history, in fact, all of history, in fact, all of it, this entire thing from 3000 BC to the present, that involves communication. And if we don't have that, well, none of it, we don't have any of our history. It just doesn't happen. I think Abby maybe is on to what I'm trying to say. Abby, what am I talking about?
Well, even in the time of Menes and Armor and before that, people could communicate. They could talk to each other.
Okay. So, but we would never know anything about them except because they learned to communicate in a certain way. What's that? They left a permanent mark communicating in a new way. What is it?
Writing.
Letters. Writing, exactly. This is the first civilization, ancient Egypt, that has a combination of writing and government. And so now we can learn how they lived. That's right. We have to have writing. That's the first communication revolution. People learning to write things down. And, well, we don't get the rest of the history without it. Because how did the founding fathers know to make a republic? We learned this in our anchor facts. What were they looking back to? as an example of making a republic? Nemo?
The Athenians and the Romans.
And how did they know about those people? Did they talk to them? Of course not, right? Because this is 2,200 years later. So how did they know about them? Did they know what the Romans and the Athenians had done, Wyatt?
Well, the Romans and the Athenians wrote history.
Right. They wrote down what they had done. And it was transmitted in books to modern people, and the Founding Fathers read history. That's how come they were so smart. They read history, and they knew, they understood it. They knew what the Romans and the Greeks had done and why it was better. Does anybody know the story of how important ideas and writing was for this? It's funny how it's getting a little bit. What about this one? 1492. Do you guys remember the story of the importance of communication for Columbus? There was a book that Columbus read, and it inspired him. And it was only because people had learned to print books because of the Gutenberg printing press that he had a copy of this book. And he was excited. And he says, I want to go to this place, Asia. Because this other guy was there before me, and he said that the rulers over there have lots of jewels. They must have a really rich civilization. Let's go find them. Nobody remembers the Italian merchant who wrote the story of his travels? Aha, Rosetta.
Marco Polo.
So without the printing press and the printing of books, including the travels of Marco Polo, that was one of the first bestsellers in history, then Columbus would not have known about Asia. And he wouldn't have lived the life that he lived. He wouldn't have discovered America. Oh my gosh. So we don't get the discovery of America without communication technology, the book. And we don't get the Declaration of Independence without history books. My gosh. So history is absolutely dependent on communication. Okay, but what about the revolution? We're going to go back now to the comment that Wyatt made earlier, which was a really great comment. Wyatt was saying, well, in olden times, I like that expression, people had very limited communication, including, you know, Columbus and the Founding Fathers and so on. They had books, but there was a big limit to how much people could communicate. Because, and I'm going to put this in a certain way that Wyatt was kind of trying to bring up. Because the speed of communication was the same as the speed of transportation. Think about that for a minute. What do you suppose that means? The speed of communication was the same as the speed of transportation. What do you suppose that means? What does that mean, Abby?
Well, it means that basically, if you wanted to write a letter to someone and send it to them, you'd have to write the letter and give it to someone, who would then have to transport it somewhere at the speed of transportation. And if you wanted to give someone a message, you'd have to tell the person who could carry the message to them.
Right, exactly. How did the Minutemen find out that the British are coming? The British are coming. Did they get a text? How did they find out? By the speed of transportation. Who was it that was doing that ride? Announcing that the British are coming. The British are coming. The Minutemen better get ready. Rosetta?
Because of Paul Revere?
Yeah, Paul Revere. Anna says, my sound is muffled. I'm sure it's temporary. Okay, so the speed of transportation. And so, but nowadays, the speed of communication is what? We don't have to physically move our ideas. What happens to them? How fast do they move? This is pretty neat to think about. So, I'll explain in a minute here. But I like to make a comparison between as in olden times, as Wyatt was saying, and modern times. And so there's a reason why I have a map of St. Louis here on the screen. In olden times, before the communication revolution, there was the fastest way of communicating ideas in America was called the Pony Express. Anybody ever heard of that? It was a trail of messengers that would go across empty plains to go from one city to another, delivering the mail as fast as is possible. And the Pony Express could deliver a letter from St. Louis, Missouri to Sacramento, California. Oh, there we go. See? Good old Google Maps. Right? The Pony Express could deliver such a letter in 20 days. 20 days to get from here to here. That was as fast as you could do it in olden times. Now, if you want to get on I-80 Interstate in your car and follow the speed limit, how fast can you transport your idea from St. Louis to Sacramento? 29 hours. So, of course, that's our transportation revolution, right? Now we don't have to get on a horse and climb the mountain on a horse, which is very difficult, and it takes 20 days. Now we get in a car and we go on a highway, it takes 29 hours. Whew, fantastic. That's a transport. Or, of course, here, thank you, Google Maps. We get on a plane, and it takes less than 6 hours. Ha-ha, that's the way to go. And look, it only costs $400. So this is the real transportation revolution here, right? 6 hours, not 20 days. But that's still transportation. If you want to communicate an idea from St. Louis to Sacramento today, how long does it take? I mean, right now, I'm communicating ideas from down here in Texas, and it's going all the way to Dana across the Atlantic. How long is it taking, Abby?
Well, it's not taking very long at all.
Yeah, I mean, that's I don't know, what's the word for lack of exaggeration? It's an understatement. It's instant, right? It's instant because we are using the speed of communication now is the speed of electricity. How fast is electricity? Does anybody know? How fast is it? It's amazingly fast. I'm not an expert in physics, but I seem to remember reading one time that electricity is about 2/3 the speed of light. So it's almost as fast as the speed of light, which is the closest thing we know to almost instant. It's super incredibly fast. So, yeah, it's so fast that my voice is now going into your house at that speed and it's pretty much getting there instantly. Right. So, the first person to realize that, hey, we should move our ideas using electricity was a man named Samuel Morse. And so in 1832, Samuel Morse, who was an artist at the time, was on a boat coming back from Europe, coming back to America, and he was talking with a physicist, and he said, how fast is electricity? And the physicist said, we don't even know yet, because they hadn't been able to figure it out. It was so fast. He said, basically, it's instantaneous. And Samuel Morse says, well, imagine if we could use electricity to transmit our ideas. And he just kind of had a flash of brilliance. And he was sitting on the boat all the way to America. By the time he got off, he had figured out an idea for using electricity to communicate ideas. And this is it here. This is called a telegraph, or this is part of a telegraph. And what he said was, well, what we could do is we could send electricity down a wire. And the way that we would send our ideas is we would use a special code. And his name was Samuel Morse. Does anybody know what code it was that he came up with? That was a heck of a hint. Nemo, go ahead.
Morse code.
Morse code, exactly. He said, I'm going to make a device like this, which turns the electricity on and off. Click, 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 click. Turn it off, turn it on, turn it off. Really fast with somebody who knows how to do it. And then people on the other side of the line have a device that that makes a sound when the electricity comes and when it goes off and when it goes on and on, off, on, off. And you make a code. And so for hundreds of miles away, somebody can get a message from you at the speed of electricity. So yeah, this was the beginning of what we now take for granted, that we can communicate our ideas across impossible distances using electricity. Okay, Morse code, the invention of the telegraph by Samuel Morse. And so that was the beginning of it. And Samuel Morse started a company called Western Union. Some of you guys might even know because it still exists today, which is pretty amazing for communicating across great distances. But who wants to learn history at our house through click, 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 click? That would be an interesting course. History through Morse. So that would be pretty hard to learn history through Morse code. So what's better? What do we want? We need somebody like Alexander Graham Bell to come into the picture. And in 1876, he's got this invention called the telephone, which is going to take the sound that comes out of our mouths and record that sound and turn it into a kind of electrical signal and move the sound using electricity. That's the brilliant idea. So we get the invention of the telephone. And then, well, like I said earlier, who uses telephones anymore? We use cell phones, right? So what's the amazing advantage of cell phones over telephones? You guys don't even know what telephones are, so how would you know? But Jeremy, go ahead.
A telephone goes on a wall. A cell phone can fit in your pocket.
Yes, and why does it have to be on a wall in a house or in a building, Jeremy?
It needs electricity to power it.
Yeah, it has to go through a wire. And the cell phone does what? How does a cell phone work? Now, I don't expect anybody to be a cell phone scientist here. But what are those? How does our voice go into a cell phone and end up in somebody else's cell phone? Rosetta?
Don't they run on a battery?
Well, certainly we have power. There's electricity in the phones. But the question is, how does it go from one phone to another? Patrick, you have any idea?
A signal.
A signal, which is a good answer. Okay. And it's a special kind of signal. So I wouldn't, you know, this is, you have to be a physicist to know what these things are. But the signal is called electromagnetic waves. Ooh, wow. Okay. That's about all I have to say about that. because it's too complicated. So this isn't a science class, but there was a man named, I like this guy, he's an Italian guy, Guglielmo Marconi. And he was brilliant. He figured out that there are, well, he didn't learn about the waves for the first time, but physicists were learning about electromagnetic waves. And he said, well, I can do the same thing as kind of with a telephone, as I can take the vibrations of the sound and make them change electromagnetic waves. And that way the sound will move at the speed of those waves, which is basically the speed of light. Abby, did you have a thought about that?
Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, okay. Now, inside our cell phones, we have little antennas. Guglielmo Marconi's first antenna was this here. He had a kite and he raised it up into the sky, and the big wire it was a big long wire was a huge antenna. And he was in Canada in Newfoundland, and he had somebody else way over in England or Ireland, I can't remember. And then he had an antenna, and the man started to do Morse code over on the other side of the Atlantic. And using the electromagnetic waves and this antenna, he ended up being able to. See, here's him with his equipment here. He ended up being able to hear the sounds of somebody else through a wireless device, which, of course, is what we are able to do now. All right, so now we're at a point where people across the ocean can communicate with each other. Wow. What is that going to do to American life is the question that we are going to look at next week. Very briefly, because at that point we enter into the modern age. And that's going to be the last segment of the course, is America over the last century. America in modern times, what has it been like? And one of the challenges has been that America became connected to other countries. And we could now transport people there and back. We could now communicate with people anywhere around the world. And so, what does that do when your life is so connected to other people? Is what we're going to look at briefly next week. We'll see that Americans decided that was a very important change and they should act in a different way as a result. Okay, but that's it. Great. So, that's going to be it for today. Tomorrow, of course, we'll go back to history through art. And then we'll pick things up on Monday. Okay, folks? Thank you. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.